Coming up on today's show.
If we are working hard, we're working to the best of our ability, we're carrying ourselves with good character and integrity, things will fall into place that God has a place for us.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more, from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks, about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode releases. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net. A great opportunity for you to interact with other listeners, as well as I mentioned, some past guests. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. If you look close enough, there is a pattern with officials during gameplay across different sports. For example, in hockey, if a referee raises his arm, it means that a player has committed an offense and is being called for a penalty. Similarly, in baseball, if an umpire raises his arm, bent at the elbow, he's signaling bad things too. Either a strike, if he's behind home plate, or an out, if he's in the infield and near one of the bags. Interestingly, in football, however, when an official raises both of his hands, something good has happened, a touchdown or a made field goal or extra point. Doesn't this mirror what we heard in a recent reading at Sunday Mass? In the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 17, verses 11 to 12 say, quote, "As long as Moses kept his hands raised up, Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, Amalek had the better of the fight. Moses' hands, however, grew tired, so they took a rock and put it under him, and he sat on it. Meanwhile, Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset." End quote. Friends, I submit, raise your hands to God at all times to celebrate and praise him, as well as in calling out to him in your time of need. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest coached for the New Jersey Pride softball organization and served as a private catching coach. In addition, she has coached bowling and volleyball. She had been the assistant varsity softball coach at Mount St. Dominic Academy and played softball at Seton Hall University. As a student athlete at Mount St. Dominic Academy, she had played volleyball, basketball, and softball. Presently, she is the Director of Strategic Initiatives and Leadership at Stewart Country Day School of the Sacred Heart, a preschool to grade 12 private school in Princeton, New Jersey, designed just for girls. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Marissa Moyo.
Thanks so much, Bruce. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Marissa, I know where you are based now, but where were you actually born and raised, and what was the family size?
I grew up in Cedar Grove, New Jersey, family of five. I have two older brothers, and I'm the youngest girl and only girl.
Now, I'm 99.3% sure, but just confirm, You are a cradle Catholic, yes? Tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the household you grew up in.
Yes, yeah. Thanks for the question, Bruce. My family, really our Catholic faith is just critical to our family structure. My grandfather was a deacon in the Franciscan order. So some of my earliest memories were visiting on Saturday mornings and working with him on developing homilies for the next day at Mass. And I just really found myself growing up in Catholic schools. I attended a Catholic school, St. Catherine of Siena in Cedar Grove, from the age of 3 through 8th grade, then went on to Mount St. Dominic Academy, and then Seton Hall. And I found myself also working in Catholic school. So it's very much a part of who I am. And my faith is critical and core to my own being.
I want to go back to witnessing your grandfather planning these homilies. How impactful, audience, that can be on a young person that maybe someone like the deacon himself might take for granted because it's something that becomes so routine to them. And so there's these opportunities. If you know a deacon, there's been a couple guests on this show who are deacons, particularly from Deacons of Hope, I'm thinking, but reach out to them, seek their wisdom, seek their counsel, seek these opportunities, because it really sounds, Marissa, like you read off a nice list for us there, but it sounds like that was really special to you.
It was. Those are some of my most special memories that we had together. It was time where he really would review scripture with me, sometimes read it aloud to me, and then help me break it down alongside him and share what message that he wanted his parishioners to walk away with. And my grandfather was very much a servant leader in his career as a deacon, and I learned quite a bit from that in my own leadership style.
Yeah, that's wonderful, because I think when we hear the word formation, and this is going to be ironic, but we think of formal, that formation has to be formal. Mm-hmm. And here it was in the home. And let's face it, once you hear that someone even considered or started to pursue the priesthood, or someone who became a nun and maybe they aren't anymore, there's still that part of them that we need to seek out, because there's something inside them that we don't have that's going to have those opportunities. So this is a great start. But my gosh, let me look again at the introduction that I read off about you. Bowling, volleyball, basketball, and softball. When and how did you first get into playing sports? My gosh.
It's a funny story, actually, Bruce. My first sport was golf. And that was also attributed to my grandfather, the same grandfather who I was very blessed to have. So he put a golf club in my hands at the age of 3. He actually used to weld some of the club heads down so that they would be my height, and took me, you know, outside. We had a net in the backyard and a mini putting green that he had put in. So those Saturdays were really filled with faith in golf.
Wow. And then the others, was there someone that influenced you to consider, to pursue, to get into the other sports, or were they just kind of, you know, you being a curiosity seeker and latching on to those other sports?
Sure, yeah. My brothers definitely had a major influence in my career in athletics, particularly my one brother, Francesco. He grew up as a great basketball player. I was always rebounding for him. Didn't get as many shots in, but I turned into a decent small forward as a result of it. But the WNBA really started when I was about 8 or 9, and my eldest brother, Gabe, we have a 16-year age difference. So he used to get WNBA tickets when in the first couple of seasons and take me over on the ferry to Liberty games. So just getting to see women in professional sports at that age was a huge difference maker in my own path and career and passion for athletics. And then I found myself into softball. And from there was really the mentorship of some amazing coaches that helped me propel my own career in softball as my primary sport.
Yeah, and maybe there's a reverse learning opportunity for those of us that are adults who remember the times when something like, wow, they're going to have a WNBA now, when that was unique. I kind of come from a different background where I spent so much time working in the Olympic movement and being at 2 women's Olympic softball competitions. So to me, there was nothing unique about it. And I love that today's generation, there's nothing unique about it. The WNBA has been around long enough now that it's normal to them, and they don't have to listen to people say, you know, well, I remember when there was no such thing. It's kind of like, what does that even mean? So that too is great witness. Now I want to go back to, you only attended Catholic schools, including Seton Hall University, for both undergraduate and graduate school. I'm particularly interested in your college choice. Did you go there on a softball scholarship? Because if not, I would love to hear about A, why you chose to stay home instead of chasing the luster of going away and sure. living the raucous college life out of view of your parents, but also B, I'd love to know how much Seton Hall being a Catholic school played a part in you choosing to go there.
Yeah, Seton Hall's been a part of my family as well. My father, my aunt, and my older brother all attended.
Wow.
I did look at a number of universities during my, you know, softball career. I was getting recruited by some smaller Division I schools. I ended up getting a significant academic scholarship to Seton Hall, and I was really attracted to their 4+2 speech pathology program initially. So that brought me in, and I ended up walking on to the softball team my freshman year.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Not the story that we were expecting, but what a blessing to be able to go there yeah. on an academic scholarship. And, oh, by the way, I walked on and was able to play college softball.
Absolutely.
During graduate school, you worked in the Office of Academic Support for Student Athletes at Seton Hall, where you helped student athletes balance academic and athletic excellence. To me, that's a pretty mature role to step into for a young adult. Tell us more about that work, as well as whether you mixed in any of the Catholic faith in what you did with those individuals back then.
Yeah, I loved my work in the Office of Academic Support for Student Athletes. You know, I was able to primarily work with our women's basketball team, but then I also had kind of a caseload of other athletes. So some were from the men's basketball team and then a variety of other sports. So I would meet with those student athletes once a week. We would review homework plans, goals for the week, our objectives, what their travel schedule with games, time management, all of those different strategies. As well. And then my primary focus was on humanities-based subjects as well, to work with them and just reviewing those different assignments and making sure that they were staying on track with their progress. It really gave me an opportunity to work very closely, I think, again, about that servant leadership mindset. What does it mean to lead quietly, to lead a life of faith that I think just in your being and your presence alone is where people recognize or can see how your faith is your core. And I think that comes through the essence and presence of who you are in relationship to another.
Wow.
I credit that experience with helping to shape my career. I've primarily been working with high school students during the course of my career, but now the last five, this is going on 6 years being in a K-12 school, I do have the opportunity to work with students of different ages. But I think working in the Office of Academic Support for Student Athletes with young adults like that, I myself at the time was one, but it really shaped my identity around working with adolescent age group in particular.
And I love the mindset, the approach that you describe, because it calls to mind, preach the gospel, use words if necessary.
Mm-hmm. I actually have that up in my office.
Oh my gosh.
Right now. I love that quote. Yeah.
And there's the Holy Spirit once again intervening in Catholic sports radio conversation. Audience, I never assume that whoever is hearing a particular episode of Catholic Sports Radio has heard one or two or 10 or lots and lots of episodes before it, which is why for the regulars, some things might seem repetitive. However, I also do so because they are messages that are important. For instance, Alliance Catholic Credit Union created Alliance Catholic Foundation to increase opportunities to minister to the community. If you are interested in promoting Catholic culture, become a friend of the foundation. When you join online, you will receive a welcome packet and have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholicfoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. And do be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Since the clock is ticking, it is also important to me to make sure I'm being thorough and putting the word out about an opportunity for this ministry that I am currently discerning, as well as asking for your support with. I have been invited to a retreat in early December in Southern California. But as you know, this is a ministry for me, meaning there is no budget, there is no staff, I do not get any income for doing this. So, based in Florida, to be able to pay to go to a retreat, to be able to cover airfare, lodging, meals, etc., well, that can only be possible at this point with listener support. I have actually been told that I will be able to record interviews with Catholic Sports Radio there if I attend. So there's really a double benefit in my attending, which is the spiritual benefit for me personally, but then the benefit of getting more guests, more testimony to share with you. If you would like to support that, if you would like to help make it possible for me to go to that retreat in early December in Southern California, I ask you to kindly utilize the blue Donate to CSR button that is on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to send in your contribution. If you would rather send a check through the mail instead of putting a credit card number online, you can write to me via bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net for details on getting your financial gift to me that way. Regardless of which of those two methods you use, as you have heard me do on past episodes, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode to express my gratitude to you as well for making a financial gift to Catholic Sports Radio, or have some have asked me to do, you can choose to direct me to keep it anonymous. I'm grateful for your prayerful consideration as to this form of tithing to help me continue on in my walk with Christ and all of you through this ministry of faith and sports. Marissa, you were actually referred to me through a group called Launch Break. Since it's actually sports related, what can you share about them?
Yes. Yeah. I was so blessed to get connected to Launch Break about a year and a half ago. They're a women's networking platform for former female collegiate and professional athletes. And I found out about them through LinkedIn and just made a connection and said, I'm working in the girls' school space. I also direct our National Center for Girls Leadership here at Stewart. We have so much in common. We're mission aligned. I'd love to learn more. And from there, really got connected with Teresa and Philippa and attended a few Launch Break events. And then from there, we just recently hosted on our campus here at Stewart our first athletics and leadership conference for middle school age girls. And that was in conjunction with Launch Break and Let Her Play.
Wow. Wow. And that's great to hear, because I think nowadays when we hear that something is a networking platform, we make the mistake of thinking that it's all just virtual and you're never going to meet anyone in person because everything is online. So it's good to hear that there are actual events that are taking place under the Launch Break umbrella.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're an incredible organization. They've grown tremendously in the last year and a half that I've been watching both close up and from a distance. And I love the work that they do. And just like you said, Bruce, I think they're having events. They serve as a real mentorship platform for younger student athletes just coming out of college, too. I myself have been able to serve as a Launch Break mentor for a young woman coming out of college. So it's a wonderful organization to be a part of.
Yeah, fantastic. So tell us about the Stewart Country Day School of the Sacred Heart and your work there as Director of Strategic Initiatives and Leadership.
Sure. So we are we actually have an early school as well. So this year we opened, we have two of our youngest on campus are 17 months old, all the way through 18, seniors in high school.
Wow.
The past 5 years here at Stewart, I've served as the head of upper school and director for our National Center for Girls Leadership. This year, stepping into a new role as Director of Strategic Initiatives and Leadership. So I now have the opportunity really truly to be able to build our leadership curriculum that is ages K through 12. We also do a lot of research and partnership work with higher ed institutions. I have one study, if I can share with you, Bruce, coming out later this year with, I'm working with Dr. Monica Kowalski at the University of Notre Dame, and that study was designed throughout our Sacred Heart Network. So we had over 250 adolescent female participants looking at a research question around purpose and spirituality. So we're excited to share those findings later this year.
Wow. Wow. And is that something that will be made public that maybe folks can go on the Stuart Country Day School of the Sacred Heart website and find?
Yes, absolutely. Probably early spring.
Awesome. Awesome. And audience, I will put a link on the show page for Marissa's episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to the website for the Stuart Country Day School of the Sacred Heart, period, just so you can look at them in general, but then also to kind of have a place to come back to in the spring and look for what she just described. Marissa, you had a sports role that I mentioned back in the intro, coaching with the New Jersey Pride softball organization. As X's and O's as that sounds, was there opportunity to help mold the girls as young women, future wives, future moms, and perhaps even sprinkle in some Christian fundamentals, even though it was, of course, a secular environment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I got connected with the New Jersey Pride during my time coaching at Mount St. Dominic Academy, so where I also taught. And I was a catcher most of my playing career, so I really went on as a catching coach for the entire organization and then coached in particular at the 18U level with Rob Stern for the Pride. Had tremendous fun in the summers being able to travel the country and work with young people and getting better at the game, and certainly also thinking about that competitive level. We were traveling to some of the best recruited events across the country. So there's a high level of pressure that those young people were also feeling. So I think that's where I was able to intertwine a lot of my faith, right? And that belief that we're going to, if we are working hard, we're working to the best of our ability, we're carrying ourselves with good character and integrity, that things will fall into place, that God has a place for us. And that's where I really found that those conversations were able to happen, especially in that type of environment, just thinking about the pressure that those young student athletes are under during that process.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You attended the Appalachia Service Project trip multiple summers with students, and you even organized a trip to the Texas-Mexico border in McAllen, Texas in 2019. Share with us about those experiences and, dare I say, maybe learning more from the girls than they did from you.
Yeah, absolutely. They're both transformative experiences. I think working with young people, oftentimes we think that we're the teachers, right? And we have so much to impart, but it's actually being a part of these opportunities where students and teachers get to walk alongside each other in that capacity, that I think there's so much reflective practices taken away as an educator that really influences our being, right, with students. So here at Stuart, Stuart has a 43-year tradition of going down to Appalachia and the ASP Service Project.
Wow.
I can't speak most highly of it enough. But essentially, you head down, there's many, we were the only school community when we attended, so there's typically church communities from across the country that you're given a site location, and then we would typically bring down about 15 folks from Stuart. So we would have three teams, and myself and another faculty member, you oversee a team, and they give you one small project that you're working on for a home for this family for the week. It is a series of weeks for the family that's involved throughout the summer. So it also really speaks to, like, knowing your job as very specific and taking great pride in it, however small it may be. So there's so much to take away and value for students. And then at Mount St. Dominic Academy, we were really passionate, Dominican Sisters, around social justice. So I organized a trip down to see, we had several Dominican Sisters at the McAllen, Texas border. This was in 2019, prior to COVID. And we took a group of students down there, and we worked at Catholic Charities. We actually met Sister Norma during our time there, and we were able to really work alongside other volunteers from across the country in providing those who were just came across the border, had family here in the U.S. with clothing, basic necessities, but we were able to hear their journeys as well throughout that process.
Wow. Wow. And I love that you started that answer with, we do think that we're the teacher, and oftentimes we become the student, and the young people, it's great to see when it's their faith first and everything second, and we get to witness how devoted they are and their walk as far along as we think we are, and how much we can gain from just sitting back and listening and watching them.
Absolutely.
So I do want to make clear, in case there's anyone out there that doesn't know by this point, but the school that Marissa is at is in fact an independent Catholic school. So I wonder, Marissa, do you have any access? Do you have any viewpoint of the athletic programs there to say how present the Catholic faith is throughout Stewart athletics?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I think we do really well is being present to how our spirituality really guides our students and our coaches. And it's, again, I come back to being, because I think that for so many, it's, you know, the love of Christ is shared through action and through our presence with one another. And in terms of our leadership curriculum, we do have a leadership curriculum specific for student athletes that we continue to develop. And the faith, the five goals and criteria of the Sacred Heart are very present and essential to that leadership curriculum for our student athletes.
Well, audience, I think this conversation has had a wonderful balance of faith and sports. However, there is an element of Marissa's faith life that we did not touch upon. So, Marissa, I would love to close by having you just enlighten the audience about all the teaching that you've done throughout your career in Catholic schools, no surprise.
Sure. Yeah, I've been teaching since I started at Mount St. Dominic as a librarian. I did teach several classes. I developed a directed research senior capstone course there. I currently teach directed research here at Stewart as well, which is now a trimester-based course for sophomores, and I absolutely love that. I also have had the privilege to be able to teach ethics as well here at Stewart, and be able to really influence students. One of my favorite priests is Father Richard Rohr. I'm a fan of the mystics, and I do expose students to his daily meditations. Mm. Yes, and we've done a lot. They joke with me, if you've follow any of his daily reflections from last year around being the salt of the earth. So even now I have students for the second year in a row, and they're busting me about being salt, but the image sticks. It sticks, Bruce, and I'm grateful for that opportunity to be able to influence students both in and out of the classroom.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Marissa, wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and the work that you're doing at the Stewart Country Day School of the Sacred Heart.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Audience, I looked up. It's been a little more than 6 months since we've done this one. We're going to close with what's called the prayer to play fair in the game of life. Let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, in the struggle that goes on through life, we ask for a field that is fair, a chance that is equal with all the strife, the courage to strive and to dare. And if we should win, let it be by the code, with our faith and our honor held high. And if we should lose, let us stand by the road and cheer as the winners go by. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.